You're listening to audio from Queen City Church. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will encourage you and offer practical steps for a relationship with God that keeps getting better and better.
Today, we're actually finishing up a series that we've been in over the last 7 weeks as a church called Sunday to Sunday. And in this series, we've taken a day-by-day look at the Passion Week, the last week of Jesus's life here on planet Earth. And I'm telling you, we saved the best for last today, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because, man, I'm telling you, I think that they're going to check your notes that you took in church in heaven. Just when you get there, they're going to ask, hey, did you take notes in church? And so you want to make sure that you have something. And so if you're taking notes, today we're going to talk about what happened on Resurrection Sunday, And before we open up God's Word, I do want to take a moment to pray and just invite God to speak to us, because here's what I believe. I believe that each and every one of you are here for a reason. And I think today God wants to meet you right where you're at. And whatever you have going on in your life, I think God wants to speak something directly to you. But I think it's very important that we open ourselves up and invite Him to be able to speak in any area of our life. So let's do that. God, we thank you so much for this amazing gift of today. Thank you for bringing us all here together. For every person that's here at Withrow High School, for every person that's joining us online. And God, we don't want to play church. We don't want to go through some religious motions today. We want to hear from you. And so God, we literally open up every single area of our life. We open up our thoughts. We open up our mind and our heart to you. Every single area. God, we give you permission to speak into any area of our life. And God, I do ask that every single one of us would leave this place different than how we came in. God, we thank you so much for Jesus, our risen King. It's through the mighty, powerful name of Jesus that we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, let's read God's word together. Luke chapter 24 starts in verse 1. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there, puzzled and confused, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in their Easter Sunday best, in their dazzling robes. And then in verse 5, it says that the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. This is what we are celebrating today, church. This is what today, like the entire world, hundreds and thousands and millions of people around the world are celebrating this day that happened almost 2,000 years ago. But here's the big question that I've been asking all week as I've been thinking about this day is, if this is a day that so many people are celebrating, that we're celebrating today, here's the big question that I want to ask today is why? Why? That's the question that I've been asking all week. And really, I'm a guy that asks this question all the time. And so, come on, how many of you, by show of hands, are like me and you always ask why? Come on, where are my people that always ask why? Don't T-Rex arm, put that thing up. Let me see. Okay. Yeah, my people. There are people, like, I'm the same way. I always ask why. Don't tell me what to do. Mm-mm. Tell me why that we need to do it, and then I'll buy into that. But I've been that way since I was a little kid. I've always asked why. It's just how my mind works. I want to know why about everything. For example, this is just how my mind works. Because if a store is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, why in the world are there locks on the door? These are things that I just think about. Welcome to my mind. I ask questions like, why do we call the time of the day where the traffic is the slowest rush hour? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why? If flying is so safe, why do we call part of the airport a terminal? Think about it. Some of y'all get that at lunch. This is my favorite one. I know, this is so stupid, but this is my favorite one. Why? Why are they called apartments? When they're all stuck together, it just doesn't make any sense. Why? And as I prepared for this message, and as we've been in this series where we've looked at every single day of the Passion Week, day by day, and I knew that Sunday was approaching, I couldn't stop asking the question, why? Why? Why is this day worth celebrating? Why is that Sunday, almost 2,000 years ago, such a big deal? Because honestly, I can understand why that Friday 2,000 years ago was such a big deal. Because that was the day that Jesus went to the cross. It's a day that's known today as Good Friday. But truly, it was only good for us. It was an awful day for Jesus. It was a day where he was betrayed and abandoned and denied by his closest followers. It was a day where he was falsely accused, unjustly, put on trial, beaten, hit, whipped, spit on, mocked, and humiliated. It was a day where a crown of thorns was shoved into his head. It was a day where he, the only person who's ever lived a perfect life, was nailed to a cross to be executed like the worst of the worst criminals. But it was also a day where he paid for our sins and our mistakes and all the ways that we fall short and all the ways that actually separate us from God. On that Friday, Jesus took our place, and on that cross, when he yelled, "It is finished," he declared that our sin and our debt has been paid in full, that we don't owe anything anymore, that we are totally, completely forgiven once and for all. And listen, that is something that you and I could never do ourselves. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why that Friday is called good. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 puts it this way, that this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So you see, I understand why Friday was such a big deal. But why was Sunday such a big deal? Now, there's so many reasons why that day was such a big deal, but for the sake of time and our Easter lunch, let me just give you three reasons why that day was so important. Number one, Sunday proves that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. This is one of the reasons why what happened on that Sunday almost 2,000 years ago is so significant, because that Sunday, it proves that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. Because in his 33 years, Jesus made many claims to be the Son of God, the promised Messiah, and the Savior of the world. He even made the audacious claim that he would die for all of humanity and then raise from the dead 3 days later. And in Matthew's account of the resurrection, it actually adds one detail that Luke's doesn't, that I want you to see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, because it says, "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying." Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And he was shown," Jesus, "to be the Son of God." How? "When he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit." So we got to understand, church, that when he got out of the grave on that Sunday, he proved that he was way more than just a good man, teacher, preacher, and leader. No, when he got out of the grave, he proved that he was who he said he was, that he is God's one and only Son sent to save the world. You see, Sunday proves that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. The second reason why Sunday is so significant and so important and so worthy of the celebration that we're doing today is because, number two, Sunday, it gives us power for today. This is so important that Sunday is significant because it gives us power for today. And some of you are here at this church right here, right now, or you're watching online somewhere around the world, and the truth is you need power. There are some things in your life right now that you can't change. That no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you try, no matter how many self-help books that you read, no matter how many podcasts you listen to, no matter how much you self-talk and pump yourself up, there are some things that right now in your life that you do not have the power to change. But I want you to hear me loud and clear. Because of the resurrection, because of what happened on that Sunday, you now have access to power that can change your life in ways that you could never change on your own. You have access to power that where you could change some things in your life that you don't even think right now are possible. Let me show you in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as, meaning in the same exact way that God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. See, this says that there are some things in your life right now that are dead, but that because of the resurrection, you have access to power to make those things come alive. He specializes in resurrection. Let me say it this way, that the same power that conquered death lives in you. Now, I have no idea how much power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. I don't know if it took a lot of power, a little bit of power, medium-sized power. I don't know how much power it actually took to raise Jesus from the dead. But I do know that this verse says that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you said yes to grace, if you have received him as your Lord and your Savior, that you have that same exact power lives on the inside of you. Listen, that's power that can heal your marriage that's hanging on by a thread. That's power that can restore your broken family. That's power that can lift chronic depression and anxiety. That's power that can bring lasting peace to your soul. That's power that can bring much needed contentment to your life. That's power that can give you strength to keep going when everything inside of you wants to quit and give up. That's power that can give you joy that cannot be taken from you that you could have in any situation. That's power that can help you experience lasting freedom from that addiction that's in your life. That's power that can break cycles of sin over your life, or maybe that's been generationally in your family for over and over and over and over again. That's power that can break guilt and shame off of your life. That's power that can reawaken purpose in your life. That's power, listen, that can help you experience a miracle that can only be accredited to God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says this, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I love this verse because this is what this verse says to you and I today, that not only do we get to celebrate the resurrection, but church, smile, because we can experience the resurrection. I'm telling you, Sunday gives us power for today. Let me say it this way, that the resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life you are living and the life God designed for you to live. That's what powers you to be able to close that gap. So here's my simple question to you today. Are you experiencing that type of power? And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can tap in to that power. So are you experiencing that type of power? Because you can. So why is that Sunday such a big deal? Number one, because Sunday proves that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. Number two, that Sunday gives us power for today. And then finally, number three, this is why Sunday is so important, because Sunday gives us hope for tomorrow. Not only does Sunday give us power for today, right here, right now, but Sunday also gives us hope for tomorrow. And this is the one that's been on my heart all week long as I've been preparing. Because some of you, if we could just go out to coffee and just have an honest conversation, I think some of you would tell me that you're here today and you absolutely have no hope. None. You don't have any hope. And let me tell you, that's dangerous. It's real dangerous. In fact, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says that hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. In other words, that no hope, it leads to a sick heart. And some of you are here today and you're going through some things, or you have been going through some things, and all hope is gone. You don't have any, and it's led to a sick heart. Listen to me. What happened on that resurrection Sunday, it gives us hope. In fact, Bishop Basil Hume, he said, this is so beautiful. He says, the great gift of Easter is hope. That's the gift of today. It's that the great gift of Easter is hope. Because Easter shows us that whatever we're going through, it doesn't have to have the final word. That whatever challenge that you're facing, that whatever storm that you're currently in, that it doesn't have the final word. Get this, that even death doesn't have the final word. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 54, says that death is swallowed up in the victory of Resurrection Sunday. That death, it's swallowed up in victory. That's what happened at the resurrection. That when Jesus walked out of the tomb, he defeated death. And that's why it goes on to say, and he starts talking trash to death. I love it. He says, oh death, where's your victory? Oh death, where's your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin. That's Friday. And death, that Sunday, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what that means. That means that no matter what you're going through on this Easter Sunday, that no matter what life throws your way tomorrow, you can have hope that can never be taken from you. Why? Because through the resurrection of Jesus, death has been defeated. It doesn't have the last word. It's been swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is gone. Let me say it this way. Resurrection Sunday was the day that death died. C.S. Lewis beautifully explained this when he said, Easter is death working backwards. So does that mean that if you're a follower of Jesus, that you won't die? That somehow you're just exempt from that? No, of course not. Last time I checked, stats showed that 100% of us are going to die. Google it. I did this week just to double check. 100% of us, every single one of us are going to do it. Some of you are like, Pastor Brian, will you be more positive? You got it. I am positive that every single one of us. But let me be blunt. Let me be a little bit more personal. You're going to die. You are. I am. You are. One day your heart is going to stop beating. One day there's no longer going to be breath in your lungs. And on that day, you will either go to heaven or you will go to hell. Those are very real places. And you'll really go to one of them when you die. And the Bible actually says that life is short. In fact, this morning, in my quiet time before I got here, I read Psalm 39. In Psalm 39, it says, what are we? We're but a breath. Take a breath. That's it. That's us. It says that life is no longer than the width of our hand. That life is short. And I know we don't like to think about that. I know that we'd much rather think about other things. I know we'd much rather stick our head in the sand and ignore things like that. And listen, I'm not saying that to scare you or intimidate you or emotionally manipulate you. I'm saying that to you because I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I'm trying my hardest to get you to have the courage to face that sobering reality today. Because you will either face that day with fear, or you can face that day with hope. Because you know that what's coming next is way better than what you are experiencing now. Because you know that because of the resurrection, because of what happened on that Sunday, you can have the hope of heaven. That one day, if you are a follower of Jesus, that you will experience Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, that describes heaven as this. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. And I'm telling you, if you know Jesus, you can have hope in that. Let me say it this way. Because of the resurrection, God turned the inevitability of death into the hope of eternal life. This is why this day is so significant. Because you can experience that hope instead of this inevitability. So here's my simple question to you. Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope of eternal life? Do you have the hope of heaven? And here's the even bigger question. How do you get that hope? How do you know that you can get that hope and leave this place with more hope than you've ever had in your entire life? We talked about power. How in the world do you experience that type of power? Is it by coming to church? Nope. Let me just tell you, church attendance doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I don't know what that is, okay? Sorry. Listen, going to the gym doesn't get you jacked, right? Just like going, like physically attending a church. Like that. That's not how you get that hope. That's not how you get that power. Is it by just becoming more religious? Hey, church people love to do stuff. Just do. We got to do stuff. So is it by going to church more, serving more, giving more? No. Is it by just becoming a better person, having a higher standard of morality and ethics? Is it by just getting your act together or by cleaning yourself up? No. There's only one way to experience that power and to get that hope. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 beautifully says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. I know that's a word we don't use very much in 2024. That means that he's in charge, not you. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now that term in that verse, believe in the original Greek, it means more than just believing in your mind. It has a deeper meaning than just I cognitively believe in Jesus. A more accurate translation would be to believe on, which like literally means to fully trust. Let me say it this way. It means to put your full weight into who Jesus is. It's the difference between believing in this chair, that I believe, guys, that this is a chair. I believe that somebody at some point made this chair, and that this is designed for people to sit in it. I believe it. It's the difference between believing in this chair and believing on this chair. See the difference? Because it's one thing to just say, I believe that that's a chair. It's a whole nother level of belief whenever you put your full weight and trust and you believe on this chair. Now, I grew up in church. That's my story. I grew up in a family where we were there every single time the doors were open. If church was happening, the Cromer family was there. It was the same rules as school. Unless I had a 101 degree temperature, we were there, baby. Like it or not, you had sports, you leave early, you get to church. We were there every single time the doors were open. And let me tell you, for the majority of the beginning of my life, until I was 18 years old, I believed in Jesus. I believed. I had heard the stories. I'd been to the services, celebrated Easter, Christmas, did Sunday school. Come on, where are my Sunday school people at? Yeah, I went to VBS, Vacation Bible School. Awful names, okay? Awful. I'd been to all those things. I believed in Jesus. But on June 25th, 1999, 25 years this summer, on that day, I stopped just believing in and I believed on. I put my full weight, my full trust, my full hope into Jesus. And let me just tell you, just my experience is that when I went all in, I believed on, my life has never been the same. I've still had my share of problems and hard days, storms of life. But I'm telling you, I've experienced power that has helped me change things in my life that I never thought would change. Things that I had tried over and over and over and over again to change, but I could never change them myself. But it was only when I experienced this that I was able to change some things. And I'm telling you, I live every single day with hope. Like, throw whatever my way, world. Whatever challenge, whatever hard thing may be coming next week, bring it on. Because I know that whatever it is, I have hope for tomorrow. Because I believe on. And let me tell you, today, you can make this same decision to not just believe in, but to believe on. Jesus said this in John chapter 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes, same word, who believes in me, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your past is, regardless of how many mistakes that you've made, regardless of how much you know, that regardless of anything, that anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. And here's the big question that we have to ask today. Do you believe this?
If there is anything in your life that we can pray for, please visit queencitypeople.com/prayer. For the latest updates on our church, follow us on social media @queencitypeople or visit queencitypeople.com.